The only one excited for Christmas tomorrow, guys? Just me? Right? Okay. Hallelujah. Whew, they did a great job singing, didn't they? All right. Sorry about the technical difficulty. If I can't hear myself, then sometimes I can't sing stuff. So, but we made it through. Amen. Had a good time. So you all did a great job singing. And amen. We're going to receive the offering. And hallelujah. We want to welcome our guests here. We appreciate you joining us tonight. And we will just go ahead and receive the offerings, tithes and offerings. Lord, we thank you tonight for these people. Lord, we thank you for them sowing into the kingdom tonight, Lord Jesus, for the work of the ministry. Lord Jesus, I pray that it will come back to them hundredfold, Lord Jesus. We thank you for the blessings, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, I just want to share a few things. I know that we'll just give them a moment to pass things around. Hallelujah. How about a quick testimony while we're waiting? Anybody have a quick testimony? Anybody want to share anything? Everything's all good? All right. Sounds good. What I'm going to do is just share a few scriptures tonight and a few things, and then we're going to have communion. Communion is open to everybody, and we will kind of break off by families and groups. So, yeah, feel free. It's completely open. If you'd like to partake in it, we definitely want to welcome you to that. Let's look at Luke chapter 1, verse 26. I want to share a few scriptures, a few thoughts, and then, like I said, we'll take up communion. While you're turning there, you know, historically we've seen a cycle of Christmas traditions over the centuries, and I want to kind of just share with you just some kind of historical things about Christmas. And just for us to realize what kind of a miracle is Jesus being here, and also for us even to celebrate Christmas. Many people don't realize that there was a time where you couldn't celebrate Christmas. So just Jesus in himself is a miracle, plus the opportunity for us to even celebrate Christmas. Luke chapter 1, verse 26, and it says, in the sixth month, Angel Gabriel was sent from God in the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph and of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, hail, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Now, ladies, if an angel came to you and said, you're really blessed above all women, that would have your attention, wouldn't it? Yeah, I think so. And then in verse 29, when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast her into mind, what manner of salutation this should be. Now, if an angel just all of a sudden appeared to you, that would probably be a little startling, right? You ever notice when Jesus died, after he rose from the dead and he visited the disciples, what was the first thing he said? Fear not. You notice how angels will say, fear not. Well, and the angel said to her, what? Fear not, Mary, for you have had found favor with God, and behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing that I know not a man? And the angel answered and said, the Holy Ghost, this is so wonderful, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also that the holy thing which shall be born of you shall be called, what? The Son of God. And we look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. I want to kind of read Matthew's account here too, but it's very interesting. Matthew 1:18, it says, and now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, so she was going to marry Joseph, before they came together, she was found with a child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her public example, was minded that he wanted to put her away privately. But verse 20, but while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, you son of David, fear not, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which she has conceived is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord, by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is interpreted God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from the sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bid him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth the firstborn son, which was called Jesus. You know, I want to kind of, Jesus is, the scripture shows us that Jesus' birth was supernatural. It was not a natural birth. Jesus is a supernatural person. The Bible specifically talks about that he was born from the Holy Spirit. He was a supernatural, he was a miracle baby. And listen, I want to look through some of the, just kind of the quick history, and I want to prove another point. We'll bring it all together before we have communion here. The first recorded Christmas was celebrated in Rome on December 25th, back in AD 336. So it's been a while, hasn't it? In the third century. But this is interesting. I think is very fascinating. It says, Clement of Alexandria said this. He said, There are those who have determined not only the year of our Lord's birth, but also the day. And they say that it took place on the 28th year of Augustus, and in the 25th day, what we call the Egyptians' month, Pacan, which is March 20th. Further, others also say that he was born between the 24th and the 25th of Parthemi, which is April 20th, or the 21st. Now, I'm saying all to say this. We're seeing many people believe they celebrate Jesus' birth. Some celebrate it on January 6th, January 7th, January 19th, April 20th, or the 21st. Some celebrate it on May 20th. Some celebrate September 11th. So you see, it's all over the place, right? This is interesting. Many place the date, which is December 25th, after the conception of Jesus by the Holy Spirit, remember the visitation of Gabriel we just talked about? There in Luke 1:26. Some believe that that event happened between March 22nd and March 25th. So they believe it's right around the March 25th this happened. And then some people believe that Christ's conception and crucifixion happened on the same day. So historically, many historians believe that, you know, people of ancient believe that you were a great person if you were born on the same day and you died on the same day. So you see how all of this, all of these traditions of men are creeping into Christmas. Now get this. In Puritan England, Christmas was banned and then it was restored in 1660. So there was a ban of several hundred years where Christmas was, you could not celebrate it in England. In the early 19th century, Christmas festivals and services became widespread with an emphasis to charity to the poor, which had never been done before, family, children, kind-heartedness, gift-giving, okay, watch out for the, here we go, all the religious people out here, Santa Claus, right, or Father Christmas. Some believe that that Christmas celebrations were placed over pagan festivals to overshadow them. And again, all these things are debate. To me, it doesn't really matter, but I'm saying all this. Number one, it is a miracle that we're even celebrating Christmas. If we look at the historical events that happened throughout, number one, Christ was supernatural. He was a miracle birth. What he did was supernatural. He was a miracle person. And just the fact that we're even celebrating Christmas is a miracle in itself for all the historical events that happened and the people that tried to get rid of Christmas. There are nearly 2.2 billion Christians as of this year. Approximately 2.2 billion people who claim to be Christians around the world, and many of them will be celebrating Christmas like we do. After all this time, again, after all the debate, after all the traditions, after all the effort to stop Christmas, we are celebrating a person who is a miracle, and we're celebrating a miracle celebration that should have never happened. But it's because of God and His wisdom. I gotta be honest with you. I think we should celebrate Jesus' birth every day. Right? It should be something that we celebrate every day. We thank you, Father, for sending Jesus every day. My point is this. I don't want to get in the weeds of arguing when specifically Christ was born. I wasn't there. You weren't there. I don't think you were. You were pretty old. But we weren't there. We don't know. But I think it's more important to God that we celebrate him, right? And acknowledge Jesus as a person, as the Son of God, came, redeemed us from our sins, did supernatural miracles here on the earth. And finally, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11 before we receive communion. Now, the Apostle Paul is writing here to the people at Corinth. And what he's doing, he's recounting the account of Jesus, the Last Supper. And he's talking about communion. And let's just read this, and then we'll receive communion here. Verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner, he also took the cup when he was up, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. And wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we judge ourselves, we shall not be judged. But if we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, and we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry for one another. And if a man is hungry, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation, and the rest I will set in order when I come." Now this sounds kind of scary at the end, but what it means is just this. When you come and you receive communion, first of all, you can't remember someone you don't know. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Those of us who are born again believers, who are believers, who are Christians, who've accepted Christ in our life, we are believers, and we have a relationship with him, and therefore we can have a communion with him, and that's where communion is. It's a focal point of fellowship. The communion when Christ and the disciples, before he was led off, and before he went, right before he went there to the cross, they had communion together, and he was saying, "This bread, what does the bread represent? His body that was broken for us. What does the blood represent? The blood that was shed for our sins." Those two elements. And so as we receive together, we're going to receive as families. And we'll just start here. My family will start. We'll just kind of go through there. You're more than welcome to join somebody if you'd like. and then when we're done, we'll just, whoever here, just let us know. Who the last one is. But I want to pray, okay, before we receive the communion together, because it's very special, it's a very holy thing. And you may be thinking, Pastor Brent, what are you talking about the death of Jesus, and why are we talking about the body and the blood and all the stuff at his birth? Because his purpose, that baby that was born in a manger in Bethlehem, his purpose, just like we read there in Matthew and Luke, was to redeem mankind. He was a sacrifice that the Father gave to the world, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." Jesus' purpose as a baby was to be led, just like the prophet said, that he was going to be led like a lamb unto the slaughter. His whole life and being and existence was to teach us, to bring us closer to the Father, and to be a sacrifice for us. So, just like the Apostle Paul said there, excuse me, in 1 Corinthians, that when we receive these communion elements, that at that point we are recognizing His existence and His purpose, that it was His body was to be broken, His stripes were to be taken upon Him for our healing, His body was broken for our healing, and His blood was shed for our sin, and to bring us back and to bridge us back to the Father like it was in the Garden of Eden. Jesus, we thank You so much for this. Tonight, we celebrate You, Jesus. And first of all, we thank You, Father, for allowing Your Son to step down from glory into this hostile, sinful world to be a sacrifice and to be slaughtered and to be sacrificed and given for a world that did not love Him back. But we thank You that You first loved us so that we can have the ability to love You back. And Lord, tonight, as we give back to and we receive the communion tonight, we give back our love to You, and we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.